ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 8, Chapter 3, Text 26, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. So, Ham Vishwa Srijam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwa Vedasham Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranato Asmi Param Padam Soham Vishwasa Jam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwavedasham Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranato Asmi Param Padam Soham Vishwasrajam Bhishmam Avishwam Vishwabhirasam Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Paramparam Soham Vishwasrajam Bhishmam Avishwam Vishvavedasam Vishmatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Paramparam Soham Vishvasajam Vishwam Avishwam Vishvavedasam Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Parampadam Soham Vishwam Sajam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwavedasam Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Parampadam Soham Vishwam Sajam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwavedasam Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Manatosmi Parampadam Soham Vishwam Sajam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwavedasam Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Parampadam Matajis Soham Vishwam Sajam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwavedasam Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Paradosmi Parampadam Soham Vishwasajam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwavedasam Vishwatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Paramparam Saha, that, aham, I, the person desiring release from material life, Vishva-shrajam, unto he who has created the cosmic manifestation, Vishvam, who is himself the whole cosmic presentation, of Ishvam, although he is transcendental to the cosmic manifestation. Vishvavedasam, who is the knower or ingredient of this universal manifestation. Vishvaatmanam, the soul of the universe. Ajam, who is never born, eternally existing. Brahma, the supreme. Pranata Ashmi, I offer my respectful obeisances. Param, who is transcendental. Padam, the shelter. Translation. Now fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Lord, Supreme Person, who is the creator of the universe, who is himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the supersoul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes when bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, is preached to the common man, people argue, where is Krishna? Where is God? Can you show him to us? In this verse, the answer is given that if we are sufficiently intelligent, we must know that there is someone who has created the entire cosmic manifestation, who has supplied and has become the ingredients for this cosmic manifestation, who is eternally existing, but who is not within the cosmic manifestation. Simply on the basis of this suggestion, one can offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. This is the beginning of devotional life. Soham Vishwa Srijam Vishwam Avishwam Vishwa Vedasam Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Paramparam. Now fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is the creator of the universe, who is himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the supersoul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Om Ajnanata Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmiritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch and light of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, Gajendra is praying to the Lord, desiring release from this material world. He knew that his time was up. That's a great benediction. When one can know this is the end. For a devotee, that means he becomes fully absorbed in prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The non-devotees, we have seen, they are complaining or becoming morose about this material world, because natevidu swargagiti hi Vishnu durashaya yebahirartamanina. Because they don't know that the ultimate goal of life is Krishna. At the time of death, for a non-devotee, they don't make these prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for a devotee, our Srila Prabhupada, he opened his mouth and chanted, Hare Krishna. Well, he said Hare Krishna. Isn't it so false? And left this world. We hope to be blessed to be able to be given an opportunity to know when we're going to leave this body so that we can prepare properly. Of course, this whole life is a preparation. That's the purpose of bhakti yoga. It isn't some popular, aphorism, the term bhakti yoga, something that we recite that's really cool. Of course it is cool, but it's cool in a transcendental way, not in a popular way. Bhakti yoga means engaging my senses in the senses of the Lord, in the service of the senses of the Lord. And we're training so much so that at the time of death, when we're taking our last breath, we only have so many breaths to take. That is ordained in this world. And at the time of death, the bodily airs that normally go in a clockwise fashion go in the counterclockwise fashion, and the body becomes filled up with mucus and other liquids. So this chanting and this engagement in devotional service is a preparation, because the Bhagavad Gita states, whatever we're thinking of at the time of death, that we'll attain. If we're thinking of sense gratification, if we're praying to our relatives and friends and loved ones of this material world, we'll have to return to this material world to fulfill that desire. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho upapataye striya pravishna udaram pumsareta kanashraya. According to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the results of our past karma, karmana daiva, we are put into a particular womb of a particular mother to accept a particular body. That body may have difficulties. What do you call genetic disposition? My sister recently told me that the doctor was doing a test, and they said, what's wrong with you? You don't have the sufficient veins and arteries that you're supposed to have. They did a test on me, and sure enough, the doctor said, what's wrong with you? You don't have the proper veins and arteries. I said, was it from my past life, or what was it from? He said, no, you're born that way. Someone is born with a specific genetic disposition. One person doesn't have veins and arteries properly. Another person may have faulty vision or heart difficulties or prone to some difficulty, mental difficulties. This is ordained by the will of providence. But no matter what our disposition, no matter what our situation in this material world, Gajendra is teaching, as an elephant, that if we simply engage in prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead throughout our life, notable prayers from the Bhagavatam. We don't make up prayers. We don't construct songs, Vedic songs. They're already there. The ancient tradition is there. We take up these prayers of Queen Kunti, Gajendra, all the great spiritual personalities, and keep those prayers on our tongues so that at the time of death we can recite those prayers, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, prayer for deliverance, and attain the spiritual goal. Otherwise, what is the purpose? People don't know. Not Devidu, Swarga Gitim, He Vishnu. They don't know what the purpose of life is. Recently, last weekend, we went to the Avalon Gardens, a commune, farm community in Nogales, Mexico, on the border of Mexico and Arizona. Somehow or other, they invited us. We had gone years prior, and when, after we had led kirtan and done a program on Saturday night, they brought us to their farm, commune, and the next morning, we attended the lecture of the leader, the cultural, or as they say in my country, cult leader, Gabriel of Urantia. And he walked into the room and said, everyone stood, the big congregation, all the people living on the farm. And he said, blessings. And he looked up, saw devotees. And Hare Krishna. True story. I was like, okay, this is going to be good. And sure enough, as soon as he started talking, we had been there years prior and met beloved Gabriel and his family and the people on the farm. He said, we're grateful to the Hare Krishnas. He said, I visited Govindas in Los Angeles. And I remember when Sura came 7 years ago, 9 hours from Los Angeles, and brought us food. I brought one of those containers that only loses a degree an hour, isn't it? Those big hot boxes had the minivan back then. And we had gone. Believe it or not, I kind of remember we brought macaroni, rice, halva, and some kind of bread, all carbohydrate. I don't even remember bringing a vegetable. Maybe there was some broccoli in the macaroni. But Gabriel said in his lecture to the congregation, when he brought that food to our community, it changed my life. And I was thinking, wow, that was last night's macaroni. And the power of prasadam is so deep and so transcendental that it changed his life. He said, I was sitting there. Everybody saluted. It changed my life and I'm grateful. And he said, several times I've come. Maybe we didn't know it was him. He's a very big cultural leader, Gabriel of Urantia. He said, I've gone to Govinda's in Los Angeles so many times. And I'm sure Govinda's in Tucson because they're only some hour away. And he said, and they have taught us a great lesson. Of course, materially speaking, they're thinking that we've given them healthy food, and we have. Govinda's provides very healthy, first-class cuisine to eat healthily and live very cleanly and healthily. But on the transcendental platform, it's prasadam. It's been offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada said, you take the orange, you cut it up, it's just an orange, you cut it up and offer it to Krishna, it's prasadam. You take it and you receive transcendental, unbelievable transcendental benefit. You take the orange and cut it up, offer it to the Lord. So the power, we don't realize all the time, the power of prasadam is very deep. He remembered from years ago how he said his life and habits were changed by eating Krishna prasadam from Govinda's Los Angeles. Thank you very much. So this is the grave benefit that we have to offer. We give people Srila Prabhupada's books. We give people Krishna prasadam. We give people the holy names. And they derive transcendental benefit. It isn't mundane benefit. We're on the Interreligious Council of Southern California. And at all of the meetings, they have discussions how to help the people. It's very nice. Their conclusion is, I'm the treasurer. They said, Sura, we want you to write a check for $5,000 to Habitat for Humanity, because in the suburb of Linwood, just south on the 405, they're helping purchase and refurbish a house, an old, what do you call, uninhabitable that they're refurbishing. I forget the name. House to make available for the homeless. There's a great problem in our Los Angeles and in America of homelessness, they discussed. So we are going to help provide one house. Materially speaking, it's very nice. And from all of the religion's point of view, this is the highest welfare activity. To feed the sick, to visit, to feed the poor, to visit the sick, to house the homeless. Our interfaith group is engaged in all of those activities, and they appreciate our food for life, our Govindas, and our activities, and try to duplicate them in their own churches and synagogues. But their ultimate benefit is saving the dress of a drowning man. Srila Prabhupada tells the story. A man is drowning. People come to save him. And one cries out, oh, I got his boot. And another says, yes, I got his hat. And another one goes in after, I got his jacket and shirt. And another, I got his pants. It's the philosophy of saving the dress of the drowning man. The man drowns. You got his boots. That didn't save him. So similarly, these mundane philanthropic activities of giving the homeless a home, feeding the sick, it's very nice. But it's not the ultimate. It is saving the dress of a drowning man. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada taught us, what is the real humanitarianism? What is the real philanthropic work? That is to save the soul of the living entity. You give them a house and they engage in sense gratification. You simply promoted their sinful acts. Just like sometimes we used to go to Mayapur and people would beg for food, and Prabhupada said, don't give them, because these people mix it with their fish. They're simply engaging in more sinful activities. We don't want to enable their sinful life. So therefore, we save. Srila Prabhupada taught us the science of saving the soul, saving the actual personality. That is, engaging people in the science of bhakti yoga, engaging people in hearing and chanting, eating Krishna prasadam. Their life will be changed forever. One bite of prasadam, and their life is changed forever. How important activity it is. Don't think of it mundane. They eat Krishna's burfi. They eat one samosa offered to the Lord. They eat sabji. Even it's not exactly Indian, or macaroni with some broccoli in it. It changes their life because they're eating Krishna, Krishna prasadam. And they're becoming Krishna eyes. Prabhupada said, if they read one sloka or even just one word, their life will be changed. One poet said, if they read one sloka or even just one word, soon they'll be living in the temple, eating sabji with curd. I don't know who the poet was, but I think it's quite an appropriate poem, sloka, made up mundane for devotional life. If they read one sloka or just one word, soon they'll be living in the temple eating sabji with curd. So this is our grave mission. Somehow or other, give everyone we can possibly give Krishna prasadam. Give everyone we can possibly give Srila Prabhupada's books. Just like now, there's a great push. Prabhupada had said, every intelligent man, family, should have a set of books, Bhagavatams, in their home. There's a quote I can give you. So unless you live in the ashram, come see me. I give you 20% discount off of wholesale. Set of Bhagavatams must be in your home. Everyone that touches it becomes Krishna eyes. What to speak, you read it, understand it, it will change your life. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And chanting the holy names. Anyone who chants with sincerity the holy name of Krishna, he, she becomes Krishna-ized. No question. For some reason, the Holy Gabriel never said anything about chanting. We had chanted there several times and the night before. He was stuck on prasadam and appreciating prasadam. Brought 9 hours from Los Angeles in the hot box. But what to speak of chanting of the holy names? They hear the chanting. They were all dancing with us, 60, 70 souls. Got up and danced with Madhurika, isn't it? Jumping up and down, going in circles. They all got beads. Ramnomi, my son, brought back 2 suitcases full of Tulsi Japa beads, the big ones. I think Tadit sells them for about $15 in the gift shop. And we said, if anyone will chant the holy name of Krishna, I had them around my neck like a flower garland. 20 sets weighed about 3-4 pounds, 2 kilos. They came, they lined up. Isn't it, Bono? They lined up to receive beads and learn how to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They were so eager. We ran out of beads. We didn't have enough beads to give out. 20, 30 sets of beads. We needed to bring 50, 60 sets of beads. So this is our life mission. We are physicians of a sort. But that operation isn't on the body. That operation is on the soul. We give the lost souls who may be engaged in wonderful philanthropic activities. Or like the Avalon Gardens, they're engaged in doomsday prophecy that the world is going to end soon. Come to the farm and be learn self-sufficiency, how to live with the gardens and the animals, because the world is coming to an end soon. And as part of their service, they talked about Fukushima and change of the, what do you call, the heating of the big glaciers that now have made it so that the waters are rising by 24 inches, the newscast said, by the end of 2015. And everybody's going to be dead. Of course, we don't exactly preach doomsday. We also believe padam padam yadvi padam natesam. Catastrophes are ready to happen. They're happening. Glaciers are melting. Global warming is a reality. Fukushima exploded, and now they say there's more explosions under the earth affecting so many people. We agree. But our answer is, yes, get prepared. Prabhupada said, Varnashram, make farm communities, get ready. But our real answer is chanting, dancing, eating prasad, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And teaching everyone, chant and dance, eat prasad, chant japa, and read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Every sane man should have a Srimad Bhagavatam in their home. Sane women also. You have a home and it doesn't have a Bhagavatam, come and see me after class. That's necessary. That's essential. That's Krishna in your home. So this is our mission. We're so fortunate to be a part of that mission. To be able to ourselves chant and, if possible, dance. And, of course, eat prasad, read Srila Prabhupada's books, and give everyone else that opportunity. Because nothing else will save them. Only this Krishna Seva will save them. Only this devotional service will save them. And therefore, Prabhupada, in 1976 in Mayapur, at the festival, senior devotees were all there. Prabhupada said, Jale dako tahe kaha Krishna Padash, Amara gyai guruhan tar e dash. Maybe 20 times he repeated that verse. That wherever you go, whomever you meet, give them this science of Krishna consciousness. You become guru. Maybe not notified Diksha Guru in ISKCON, but you become Guru, Vartma Pradarshika Guru. who introduces, Shiksha Guru, who teaches. You become guru and give everyone in your land the science of Krishna as given in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita Bhagavad Gita. So this is our life. We're very fortunate. It is the greatest welfare and humanitarian activity. It has been recognized as such. Srila Prabhupada said it is the greatest activity. Therefore, let us all come together and push on this mission for the service of Srila Prabhupada. All glory Sri Guru and Gauranga. Did I overrepresent? You didn't come to the service.